Campbell, and you are currently listening to Breaking Barriers with Jack Campbell, live on CITR 101.9 FM, Thursdays at 10 a.m., broadcasting from the traditional, unceded, and ancestral territory of the Musqueam First Nations people. I'm back after a two-week hiatus, and I'm very excited to start this new season with more broadcasting for you live from the studio. Now, some changes to the broadcast I've decided to make are now, along with focusing on music composed in the 20th century, I'm also going to be focusing on music by artistic practitioners of the 20th century. So, for example, people like Leonard Bernstein or Glenn Gould or Jesse Norman, who not only sang or conducted or performed the music of the 20th century, but also of other centuries, but were such pivotal figures in the 20th century. So this will give us a much broader range of historical music, and I'm very excited to explore that. I'm also going to change programming to mainly, almost entirely consist of music written within the so-called classical style. Now, that doesn't mean I won't be branching out into other genres, such as, for example, jazz, or perhaps even rock and roll, but that will only be when it fits the context of a classical piece or is incorporated into a piece of what is traditionally considered more classical, or at least so-called classical, sounding music. I think this will be a really interesting direction for this broadcast, and I believe that it'll allow me, and I hope the listeners, to sink a little bit more deeply into the material and perhaps make greater connections across genres. All right, well, that's enough talking for now, but I am going to talk just a little bit more to introduce you to today's episode. So everybody in the classical music world right now is really excited by the new Leonard Bernstein biopic that's coming out in a few months, starring Bradley Cooper. And apparently it's quite marvelous. Now, Leonard Bernstein's always been one of my favorite figures in the classical music world. I just think he's such a beautiful person, and his music is unlike any other, and his sensitivity, and also the breadth of what he practiced, from his teaching, to his conducting, to his composing, to his very underrated piano performance abilities. So today's broadcast is going to be dedicated to Leonard Bernstein's artistic practice as performer, conductor, educator, composer, collaborator. So to begin, I'm going to play a little bit of Sibelius's Fifth Symphony. Now, this version being Bernstein conducting the Wiener Philharmoniker in 1988. Now, I was particularly thinking of this music today because it is my mother's birthday, and this is one of my favorite pieces of music, and it's also one of my mother's, and this is a memorable piece for me because I specifically remember falling in love with this piece while hearing it being performed live by the Vancouver Symphony with my mom. So, here's Leonard Bernstein, 1988, Wiener Philharmonic, Sibelius's Fifth Symphony. Please enjoy. For those of you who are just tuning in, welcome to Breaking Barriers, live on CITR 101.9 FM radio. My name is Jack Campbell, and you're listening to Breaking Barriers with Jack Campbell, live Thursdays at 11 a.m. We were just listening to the brilliance of Leonard Bernstein conducting Sibelius' Fifth Symphony, one of my favorite pieces. And as I mentioned, this piece was on my mind this morning because it's my mother's birthday, and it's one of my favorite works ever written. And one of the reasons I love it so much is it's a work of which is love I share with my mum. So it's a special piece to play today. And as I mentioned at the beginning of the broadcast, on Breaking Barriers, I am changing the structure a little bit, and I hope you'll enjoy it with me. And please do give me feedback. You can reach me on social media, Instagram, jack.m.campbell. It's as easy as that. And I'm going to be focusing not only on the music of the 20th century, but also the artistic personalities of the 20th century, and therefore the music of historic times that they represented, and giving us a wider swath of musical territory to cover through exploring artists such as, say, Jesse Norman, or Jacqueline Dupre, or today's subject, Leonard Bernstein, which is very fitting with the movie coming out. We're now also going to be focusing mainly on music of the classical stream. Other genres may creep in when it's relevant, but pretty much sticking to perhaps redefining what we can consider classical music. Now we're going to switch to Leonard the composer. Now, not only was Leonard a brilliant composer in the more traditionally classical medium, but he revolutionized the American musical theater in his collaboration with, who some consider the great American musical theater genius, Stephen Sondheim. Here's a piece that Sondheim wrote the libretto to, which he later said was his greatest libretto due to its wit and how clever it is. And Bernstein set the text perfectly. It's one of those pieces where you couldn't imagine another note in its place. So here is G, Officer Krupke from West Side Story.
Feckless friggin' disappointments. Give me one good reason I shouldn't throw the book at you.
Dear kindly Sergeant Krupke, you gotta understand, it's just our bringing up key that gets us out of hand.
Our mothers all are junkies,
our fathers all are drunks.
Golly Moses, naturally we're punks.
Gee, Officer Krupke, we were very upset. We never had the love that every child ought to get. We ain't no delinquents, we're misunderstood. Deep down inside us, there is good.
There is good.
There is good. There is good. There is untapped good. Like inside, the worst of us is good.
Let me tell it to the world.
Just tell it to the judge.
Dear kindly Judge Your Honor, my parents treat me rough. With all their marijuana, they won't give me a puff. They didn't want to have me, but somehow I was had. Leaping lizards, that's why I'm so bad.
Right, Officer Krupke, you're really a square. This boy don't need a judge, he needs a analyst care. It's just his neurosis that ought to be cursed. He's psychologically disturbed.
I'm disturbed!
We're disturbed, we're disturbed, we're the most disturbed. Like we're psychologically disturbed.
Yeah, 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 yeah. The opinion of this court, the boy's depraved and a county ain't at a normal halt.
Hey, I'm depraved on account I'm deprived!
Take this nut to a head shrink.
Why not? Come on.
My father is a bastard. My ma's an SOB. My grandpa's always plastered. My grandma pushes tea. My sister wears a mustache. My brother wears a dress. Goodness gracious, that's why I'm a mess.
Yes! Officer Klepke, you're really a slob. This boy don't need a doctor, just a good honest job. Society's played him a terrible trick, and sociologically he's sick.
I am sick.
We are sick, we are sick, we are sick, sick, sick. Like we're sociologically sick.
bananas and meal. Juvenile delinquent. And juvenile delinquency is a social disease.
Delinquency, you get a social disease?
Bring him to a social worker.
Okay, wait, can I catch it by touching him?
Get down.
Dear tiny social worker, they say go earn a buck. Like be a soda jerker, which means like be a schmuck. It's not I'm anti-social, I'm only anti-work.
Glorioski, that's why I'm a jerk.
Yeah, Officer Kropke, you done it again. This boy don't need a job, he needs a year in the pen. It ain't just a question of misunderstood. Deep down inside him, he's no good.
I'm no good.
We're no good. We're no good. We're no earthly good. Like the best of us is no damn good.
Crazy.
The trouble is he drinks.
The trouble is he's lazy.
The trouble is he stinks.
The trouble is he's growing.
The trouble is he's grown.
Kropke, we got troubles of our own. The officer Kropke was down on our knees.
Cause no one wants a fellow with a social disease.
The officer Kropke, what are we to do?
That was Leonard Bernstein and Stephen Sondheim's G. Officer Kropke from West Side Story. What a brilliantly fun and delightful and witty and clever piece of music. There's just nothing not to like there. And that was from the soundtrack to the new movie. It's interesting to hear West Side Story reinterpreted by a modern orchestra with modern recording technology, that being conducted by Gustavo Dudamel, who some consider the successor to Bernstein, if you're into that kind of thing. The next track is also from West Side Story, but this really shows how Bernstein was such a brilliant man when it came to fusion, in that although this is American musical theater, and although it definitely has that flavor, and it's set in the English language, which, by the way, fun fact, is one of the hardest common languages to set to music, it has this brilliant operatic sensibility, and to me this is just an absolutely tear-jerking aria. I can hardly ever get through it without crying. So this particular performance is very beautiful. It's recorded in Berlin with the Konzerthaus Orchestra from Deutsche Grammophon, and it's Nadine Sierra. And this is from West Side Story, Leonard Bernstein's Somewhere.
Oh,
Now, if that's not beautiful, I don't know what is. That was Leonard Bernstein's Somewhere from West Side Story, sung by Nadine Sierra. And that is just such a powerful recording. And it's so interesting to hear West Side Story because when it came out, it was something that most music of that time was not. A smash hit, a number one single, a number one album, a hit on Broadway, a hit on concert halls, a hit with opera singers, a hit with musical theater singers, a hit with orchestras, a hit with conductors, a hit with some composers. Music at that time was increasingly alienating the audience. Now that is something that an entire episode should be dedicated to, and I don't necessarily have a problem with any of that music. In fact, some of those artists, such as Pierre Boulez, are amongst my all-time favorite. However, Bernstein was a real genius when it came to making the modern connect with the public. Here's a little clip of him actually speaking on what he believes the future of music is.
But my main problem now is that there are still summaries to be made, conclusions to be drawn, the present musical moment to be generalized upon, and the future to be guessed at. All of this is clearly impossible to achieve in the 5 minutes I've allotted myself for this farewell address. So I must take a shortcut. Let me condense my feelings into a sort of credo. I believe that a great new era of eclecticism is at hand. Eclecticism in the highest sense. And I believe it has been made possible by the rediscovery, the reacceptance of tonality, that universal earth out of which such diversity can spring. And no matter how serial or stochastic or otherwise intellectualized music may be, it can always qualify as poetry as long as it is rooted in earth. I also believe, along with Keats, that the poetry of earth is never dead, as long as spring succeeds winter and man is there to perceive it. I believe that from that earth emerges a musical poetry which is by the nature of its sources tonal. I believe that these sources cause to exist a phonology of music which evolves from the universal known as the harmonic series, and that there is an equally universal musical syntax which can be codified and structured in terms of symmetry and repetition. And that by metaphorical operation, there can be devised particular musical languages that have surface structures noticeably remote from their basic origins, but which can be strikingly expressive as long as they retain their roots in earth. I believe that our deepest affective responses to these languages are innate ones, but do not preclude additional responses which are conditioned or learned. And that all particular languages bear on one another and combine into always new idioms perceptible to human beings. And that ultimately these idioms can all merge into a speech universal enough to be accessible to all mankind. And that the expressive distinctions among these idioms depend ultimately on the dignity and passion of the individual creative voice. And finally, I believe that all these things are true and that Ives' unanswered question has an answer. I'm no longer quite sure what the question is, but I do know the answer, and the answer is yes. I leave you with that yes and with my thanks and my warmest affection.
There was the end of Bernstein's Norton Lectures, which he delivered at Harvard University in 1973. It's so interesting to hear his thoughts on music. And, you know, although that perhaps my tastes might be a little bit more liberal than that, I can't help but hear that and agree with him. You know, so much of modern music wraps tonality in shun. And when you look at the music that is written nowadays that is particularly revolutionary and interesting, it is very strongly rooted in tonality. I think he was a brilliant storyteller and a brilliant predictor of the future. And it's wonderful to hear somebody talk about the spiritual and poetic and natural elements of music who was himself so very open to the avant-garde. We're now going to listen to him with the New York Philharmonic conduct Ligeti's Atmospheres, one of the most contemporary pieces ever written when it initially came out. Here's a portion of it from a very wonderful record he made called Music of Our Time, which is actually one of my favorite albums. Take a listen. Listen to how he phrases Ligeti's noise with the same passion and glee of any romantic piece and turns it into the most strikingly beautiful piece of music. It makes one wonder. Those pieces of the 20th century that we find so inaccessible, are they actually wonderful pieces that we just haven't heard be given the same respect and performance as romantic masterworks? Take a listen. Well, you've just been listening to Leonard Bernstein and the New York Philharmonic performing Ligeti's Atmospheres from Music of Our Time, which was a record that Bernstein conducted with that ensemble. And I can guarantee you that you're going to be humming that all for the rest of the day. One of the reasons I wanted to play this piece and the next piece is to show the contrast in music that was being composed at that time that Bernstein so brilliantly represented. I think it's especially inspiring when you consider it in contrast to how different it is from the music that he wrote, and it shows what a man he was. You know, he always talked about Arnold Schoenberg being a man who just truly loved music, no matter what form it took. And I think the same can be said of Bernstein. Here he is composing a piece that is entirely different from the Ligeti. Sorry, conducting a piece that is entirely different from the Ligeti, but still is very similar. Although the Ligeti is very unknown in its soundscape, this piece is unknown in its construction. This is out of Last Pieces by Morton Feldman. The piece is graphic notation with notes existing in little boxes that Bernstein had to construct and organize himself, which was a tremendous risk at the time, for it was unheard of for the New York Philharmonic to even do something like this. And Bernstein took that chance because of his respect for Feldman and for this music, and because he took the time to understand the brilliance in it. This is a particularly beautiful piece. So there you have Leonard Bernstein, the New York Philharmonic, performing Morton Feldman's Out of Last Pieces. I'm really enjoying doing this episode on Bernstein. Thanks so much for listening. If you're just tuning in, this is CITR 101.9 FM radio, broadcasting from the traditional, unceded, and ancestral territory of the Musqueam First Nations people. My name's Jack Campbell. This is Breaking Barriers with Jack Campbell, live in studio, Thursdays at 11 a.m. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and then we'll be back to explore more of Bernstein's creative practice as a conductor. Stay tuned.
Tune into Post Rock Friday from 10 to 11 with your host John P for the best in post rock, drone, ambient, experimental, and noise.
The Renfrew Ravine Moon Festival is back for its 21st year, and the theme is Water's Wisdom. Come to the Renfrew Collingwood neighborhood this September to celebrate one of Vancouver's most beloved creeks, the autumn equinox, and the traditions of the harvest moon. Join Still Moon Art Society from September 9th to 29th to experience live music, theatrical performances, food, eco-arts workshops, and hundreds of majestic lanterns made by local artists. Entry is free and open to all ages. Visit stillmoonarts.ca to learn more.
Do you love being caffeinated? And do you hate that greedy? Do you love being caffeinated? And do you hate that greedy, soulless international conglomerates are succeeding in the cutthroat world of coffee? Sounds like local coffee roasters Trek Coffee is for you. Trek Coffee is 100% indigenous and military veteran owned and operated. Let's keep small businesses thriving. Stop by Sunshine Convenience on 4th, the Super Value on Commercial, or grocery checkout in the Nest to pick up some Trek Coffee today.
In October of 2022, the Vancouver Adapted Music Society held its flagship event, the Strong Sessions, for the fifth time. All Strong Sessions feature a variety of musicians with disabilities, paired with established local artists and bands. Each month until September this year, VAMS will be releasing the performances from our 2022 show on the Reimagine Radio YouTube channel, where you can also find past Strong Sessions content. To stay up to date with us, subscribe to the channel and drop a like to show some support.
Welcome back to CITR 101.9 FM Radio. My name is Jack Campbell. You're listening to Breaking Barriers with Jack Campbell. And today's episode is about the creative practice of Leonard Bernstein. Now, Bernstein, we've just explored him as an interpreter of the contemporary and the modern and new music, and also as a brilliant composer, and we heard him conduct some Sibelius and speak about his views on the future of music. But Bernstein also had very passionate views about the past in music. This accumulated in what is now a legendary, notorious, iconic concert he gave with Glenn Gould, the Canadian pianist, him as conductor of Brahms's Piano Concerto. They had major differences of opinion about how it should be performed. He actually ended up giving a speech before the performance of the work. I'm now going to play you that speech along with a little bit of the concerto, because they can explain it much better than I ever can.
The Canadian pianist Glenn Gould is to be soloist now. Leonard Bernstein conducting the New York Philharmonic in a performance of the Piano Concerto No. 1 in D minor by Brahms. I think Mr. Bernstein will have something to say to the audience, so down to the stage.
Don't be frightened, Mr. Gould is here. Will appear in a moment. I am not, as you know, in the habit of speaking on any concert except the Thursday night previews, but a curious situation has arisen which merits, I think, a word or two. You are about to hear a rather, shall we say, unorthodox performance of the Brahms D minor concerto. A performance distinctly different from any I've ever heard, or even dreamt of, for that matter, in its remarkably broad tempi and its frequent departures from Brahms' dynamic indications. I cannot say I am in total agreement with Mr. Gould's conception. And this raises the interesting question, what am I doing conducting it? I'm conducting it because Mr. Gould is so valid and serious an artist that I must take seriously anything he conceives in good faith. And his conception is interesting enough so that I feel you should hear it too. But the age-old question still remains, in a concerto, who is the boss, the soloist or the conductor? The answer is, of course, sometimes one and sometimes the other, depending on the people involved. But almost always, the two manage to get together by persuasion or charm or even threats to achieve a unified performance. I have only once before in my life had to submit to a soloist's wholly new and incompatible concept, and that was the last time I accompanied Mr. Gould. But this time, the discrepancies between our views are so great that I feel I must make this small disclaimer. So why, to repeat the question, am I conducting it? Why do I not make a minor scandal, get a substitute soloist, or let an assistant conduct it? Because I am fascinated, glad to have the chance for a new look at this much played work. Because, what's more, there are moments in Mr. Gould's performance that emerge with astonishing freshness and conviction. Thirdly, because we can all learn something from this extraordinary artist who is a thinking performer. And finally, because there is in music what Dimitri Mitropoulos used to call the sportive element, that factor of curiosity, adventure, experiment. And I can assure you that it has been an adventure this week, collaborating with Mr. Gould on this Brahms concerto. And it's in this spirit of adventure that we now present it to you.
You've just been listening to Glenn Gould perform Brahms' Piano Concerto No. 1 with Leonard Bernstein and the New York Philharmonic at Carnegie Hall. And I'd like to leave you with a little bit of Bernstein performing my personal favorite piece of music. Here he is with Beethoven's 7th Symphony with the Wiener Philharmonic. Thank you so much for listening to this episode, this beautiful music, all from this great man. See you next week. Thank you all so much for listening. It's been a great joy to perform, to play these incredible pieces for you on radio. Have a wonderful rest of your day, and always listen to Bernstein, and always listen to classical music. See you next week. Bye.
In his light. Well, actually, he was born early 2006, so maybe he would have been able to witness it, but as a very small child.
What's the beam team ceiling here? Our resident NBA analyst.
Second round exit.
Really?
Yeah, but they're good. They're damn good, dude.
Second round exit to who? Like the Clips?
Yeah. Well,
probably, bro. That's
yeah, probably the Clips. Clippers
end up going way deeper than they should.
One of the other more experienced teams, like maybe the Suns, knock them off, if that's how the bracket shakes out. Anyway, congrats to Sacramento.
How about the Lakers?
Y'all deserve it.
Right back in the 8th seed.
Yes, the Lakers are also in the mix. Hughes, you know,
boyhood
team with the Lakers. Not at all an NBA fan, though. Anyway, second bit of news that actually pertains to music is this might have crossed into your, what should I say, like your...
atmosphere.
Your news orbit.
Yeah.
JID and Metro Boomin have a collab album coming out.
That did
eventually.
Not cross into my...
No.
Oh, eventually? That's because there was no date, huh?
Yeah, there's no date confirmed, but like that is a thing that they're working on.
Is it JID?
Yeah, I'm
JID or JID.
JID or JID. I always read it as JID. I just assume it's JID. Although I think
it doesn't really matter.
Might be an acronym, but who
Destin
cares?
Root, better known by all stylized as JID. I guess it's either.
Yeah, JID's just easier. Anyway, JID and Metro Boomin making an album though. That's really dope.
That's dope for him.
That's dope for. I think that's dope for both of them because that's something that when we talked about heroes and villains, something that kind of wasn't like a gripe or an issue I had with that album, but like a slight disappointment that he didn't. That Metro didn't branch out into more artists. He wasn't working with a very wide array of artists on that album. He kept things pretty narrow, so it's good to see him working with a new face.
JID's really good.
JID's really good, and Metro's really good.
And
he always gets the best out of his collaborators. So I struggle to see a way in which this album isn't going to be good.
Yeah,